Good morning. Well, it's good to be here. It's the first time I've been in the saddle for over 2 months. But I had lots of time to prepare. So I trust that God will bless our time together. I believe I do have a message from God. You're going to say, well, did he talk to you? Yes, he did talk to me through the Word of God. And anything I say today that's not in the Word of God, I might as well just, excuse the expression, but shut up. Because if it's not from the Word of God, it's not worth talking about. And I believe that the verses that have allotted me this morning is exactly in Luke chapter 11, 37 to 45. So would you turn with me in the Bible, in the Word of God, to Luke's Gospel, Dr. Luke, chapter 11, 37. Now, we're going to be talking a lot about the Pharisees today. And you're going to say, oh, well, I don't have to listen to the message because I'm not a Pharisee. But, you know, when we examine our lives, and that's what we're supposed to do this morning, as I examine my life, and I look at the Pharisees, and I look at some of the things in their life, and I see the same things in my life. So let's try to examine ourselves. Let's go home, because if you look at this this whole passage, what is the real problem with the Pharisees? I mean, come on now. They knew the Old Testament better than you and I. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we knew the Old Testament like they did and the New Testament? But what was their problem? Well, I just got through heart surgery, so I'm going to have to say the problem was the heart. Their heart, that's the problem. The problem we have here about the Pharisees is their heart. And I'm going to make some analysis here, and I don't think I'm stretching the truth. I don't think I'm putting things in where they don't belong. If you think I am, come and talk to me after. I'm open. I'm transparent. I want to do what God wants me to do. But I believe the problem with our dear Pharisees here and those that were professionals in the law was the heart. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. Okay? Are you ready? Let's go. Let's look at that first verse, okay? Here we go. Let's look at that verse. Now, we have different translations, of course, but it means pretty well the same thing. And I'm going to try to read this the way it's written, and we're going to enjoy this morning. I hope you enjoy this morning. I hope it ain't just another sermon. You go home, you have lunch, you have your nap, you get up, and so on. I hope that you enjoy it. I enjoyed preparing it. Now, let's read this. Now, here we go. I'll read it to you. As Jesus was speaking, one of the Pharisees invited him home for a meal. That was nice. It's always nice to be invited to a meal. So he went in and took his place at the table. His host was amazed to see that he sat down to eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony required by Jewish custom. Please notice the word custom. Not Jewish law. Custom, tradition. This was a tradition. It wasn't law. It's not in the Word of God. Now, to understand these two verses, we have to look back at this man-made tradition of ritual washing. Man-made tradition. Oh, but you're going to say, Ron, we at Parkcrest, we have no man-made tradition. I won't read the list I have here that we have at Cascades. I mean, if you really want to get down to it, I'm the only spiritual one here today because I have a tie on. Now, when I was a young person, we're talking seriously now. When I was a young person, we're talking 10 years ago, you had to wear a tie, right? And thank God, Park, I wear it because I like it, not because I'm spiritual. Some of the older people at Cascades think I'm more spiritual than the
two ties on, will I be double spiritual? But forget, just a small example, okay? I wear because I like to wear a tie. But for years, it was sort of the unwritten law. Because you know you're coming to be with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're coming in the presence of the Lord, and you've got to have a tie on. That's only one of many different ones. But let's examine our lives, and whatever we do, that's great. But let's examine it in light of the Scripture. So here we have that the person in question would take the picture. This picture is done by a servant. But in the first part of this man-made tradition, the Pharisee would take the pitcher, he'd pour it on his hand, wash his hand, then this hand, and I mean the water was dirty. The handle of the pitcher was dirty, and then of course they progressed a little bit and they got servants doing it. So this was a man-made ritual of washing the hands. And Jesus wasn't playing along with the Pharisees' game. Jesus knew that it wasn't in the Old Testament. Jesus knew it wasn't in the Bible, so he didn't bother with it. So here that he's being judged, and that's my first point. We mustn't judge the other person. I'm going to be saying some things today that you might think you can judge people, but you can't judge. Everybody's different, and everybody. But you can look in the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. The Pharisees' man-made tradition had become so dominating in his life that he even began to judge Jesus. Can you imagine judging Jesus? Jesus fell short of man-made standard of holiness. And I used to say, you know, if Jesus wanted to come into some of our churches today, they probably wouldn't let him come in because he has a robe on. He doesn't have a suit on, or he doesn't have a clothes like we wear. So are you with me there? We've only done one verse. I've still got lots of time. Let's look at the second verse, okay? Let's see what we got here for us, because I believe there's some really good stuff here. And the Lord said to him, how you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not he who made the outside made the inside also? But give us alms, those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. Let me read that again. I'm sorry. And the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees, cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. He's referring to the person here. Because they would clean the inside. No, they would clean the outside, but the inside were dirty. Now that's nice and clean. Thank you. Quite clean water, yeah. But see, they would clean the outside, but the inside was dirty. And Jesus is referring to the Pharisees. And then we're going to look at our own lives pretty soon, because a lot of times we're really clean on the outside, but inside are we as clean? And you can see them there. There's just some pictures. They look so sharp, so well dressed, so prim and so proper. Look at them, all dressed up, and they're all clean on the outside, but on the inside there was problems. These religious leaders were more concerned with looking holy than actually being holy. Do I look holy? I ain't holy. But that's what they wanted. They wanted people to look at them and say, wow, there's a holy man of God. There's a Pharisee that look at him. Look at the way he acts, the way he reacts. That's what they wanted. And Jesus wasn't going along with this. He told it the way it was. The vessels that themselves were shiny on the outside, but inside it was filthy dirty. And he used, of course, a bowl object as an illustration. So Jesus goes outside the accepted, and he told it the way it was. And I ask myself, are we concerned with looking the part of a Christian or actually being a Christian? Do we put on a facade? Do we, something I do, I'm telling you, I do, I confess it. Where's the confessional? I'll confess it. Sometimes I put on a religious face when I really don't feel like it. And we've got to be careful. Are you and me, are we concerned about holiness on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday like we are on Sunday? Do we act and react on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at the factory, at the school, at the workplace? Are we the same on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday as we are on Sunday? Do people look at us and say, well, there's a Christian. There's somebody on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Sunday, of course, we all look the part. You know, it's like this. I got a couple of neat illustrations here. A banana. Nothing nicer than a banana. But you know, it's not the peel that counts. It's not the banana that counts. What really counts here is what's inside. And it's like you and I. It's not the shell. It's not the body. It's what's inside that counts. And I mean, take this for instance. Don't that look good? But that's not what's important. What's important is what's on the inside. And that's what God looks at. He doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside. Man looks on the outside. And the Pharisees thought that God would look on the outside and not on the inside. But that's why we have these passages here to help us. These are just shells. Now that's what counts, eh? On the barbecue? No? Let's continue reading here, because there's some interesting things here. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and even herbs, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the other. They would take salt, literally, and give 10% to the church, to the synagogue, and keep 90%. They would do this to the letter of the law. They were so careful as to tithe even the smallest herb from the herb garden in order to be acknowledged by others that they totally left out the main thing. And sometimes, you know, these Pharisees would take a leaf of mint. Whoops, excuse me. They would take a leaf of mint, and that would go to the synagogue, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 would be theirs. They would count the money, but they would stand in front of the coffers, and they would say, give the tenth to the Lord, but they do it in the open so people would see them. Just think of your own life. Think of my life. And think of sometimes, do we do this? I mean, it's so important that we look at it in that way. And then as we read on, woe! Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplace. They wanted to be seen. The end of their religion was really the approval of others. They would do anything to get the approval of people. They feared man rather than God. If you gave these guys a choice between having a secret, private, intimate little prayer meeting behind the doors there or out here, they would choose out here because they wanted everybody to see them having their prayer time. What a challenge to me in a lot of different ways. And I think God can speak to us through this. That's why they invented so many traditions, because they could work through them. There was law, not law, but there was a tradition after tradition after tradition. We talk about the Ten Commandments. They had over 200 commandments. They invented so many commandments. As we read on, one of the experts in the law asked him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift a finger to help them." And I think that was us 20, 30, 40 years ago. We couldn't do this, we couldn't do that, we couldn't go here, we couldn't go there, we couldn't take this, we couldn't take that. No, 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 no. We are a people. We are free. Now, the Bible tells us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And we should try to obey that. Man-made tradition confuses and adds to what God requires. Because God doesn't require, but it confuses. Is this really from God or is this from man? God has a set of standards found in the Bible. And we should study those and we should try to live by them. And if we try to live by man's laws, then we're going to get into trouble. But we should be people who strive for God's holy standards, not someone else. Not someone else. Woe to you because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your ancestors who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your ancestors did. They killed the prophets, and you build them their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, "I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute." So here we have the generation in Jesus' day. The Pharisees were honoring the prophets. But the Pharisees of the time the prophets were there, they got killed because they talked against the prophets. And I'll read a couple of verses to show you that. Do you understand that verse? So here are the Pharisees in the time of Jesus honoring these prophets of old. And yet Pharisees at the time of those prophets killed them because they told the truth against the Pharisees and against the religion of that day. And we have that in verse 50. Notice in verse 50, "Therefore this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all those prophets that have been shed since the beginning of the world, for the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who were killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for all of this." Jesus uses Abel, who was killed by Cain in Genesis, to Zechariah in 2 Chronicles 20. And notice what it says here, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. "Then the Spirit of the Lord clothed Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, 'Thus saith the Lord, why do you break the commandments of God?'" So here is a prophet telling the people, why are you disobeying? Why are you breaking the commands of the Lord? "So that you cannot prosper, because you have forsaken the Lord, he will forsake you. But they conspired against him, and by commandment of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. So what they did, they killed the prophet. The prophets that told the truth, the prophets that preached against the Pharisees, against the religious leaders at that time, they were killed. And here, in Jesus' time, the Pharisees were honoring these prophets that were killed. Let's continue. Verse 52. Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. Because they have added and added and added another law, another law, another law, man-made law, man-made tradition. They were putting all these things onto what we would call the Ten Commandments. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. When Jesus went outside, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him vigorously and to besiege him with questions, wanting to catch him in something he might say. So here's Jesus, the prophet of all prophets, being judged by these Pharisees. Why? Because he was telling the truth. You know, it comes down to what the Word of God says about the heart. It says they needed open heart surgery. That's what the Pharisees needed. They needed what I had 3.5 weeks ago. The Word of their hearts had become a stone. The Bible says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. We talk about the physical heart all the time. But what I'd like to bring to your attention this morning is about the spiritual heart. The spiritual heart. What can we learn about our spiritual heart from our physical heart? The heart is a distribution center that every organ is dependent upon. That's the physical heart. And so is our spiritual. The way I act, the way I react, the way I talk, the way I go, do, all goes to my spiritual heart. And we are to ask, oh, Lord, do you want me to go there? Lord, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? These Pharisees needed open heart surgery. But you're going to say, look at them. I mean, I can't go through all the time of this, but I mean, take a look at them. I mean, look at that. I can't go into it, but I mean, look. I mean, they looked so healthy. They acted so righteous. Again, another example. The orange. It's not the orange peel that counts. It's not the orange peel. It's what's inside the orange. And that's the important thing. Mm-hmm. Now, take a look at this. What a macho. I mean, hey, take a look at this fellow. Wow. What are you smiling about? But look at him. That was two and a half months ago. I went out to mission to preach. Come on, look at him. Come on. Does he look healthy? He's healthier than a horse. Now, look at these two young guys. I mean, you know that shed was way over here. And with 4x4s and with 2x4s, and like the Egyptians moved the pyramid, the stones, we moved that. And that's the way I looked the day before. But look at it. Look at those pictures. See, why? Because inside, I'm going to use a word, maybe not the right word, but it was rotten inside. It was dirty inside. It was sick inside. See, the heart wasn't functioning right. Just like these Pharisees looked so great. I wanted to put more pictures in here, but my wife wouldn't let me. But, I mean, can you imagine one day to the other, just like those carrots. Look at those delicious-looking carrots. Look at them. So what we have to be careful of, that we just don't look on the outside. Because you know what happened is, I went in and they told me that I had an 80% blockage there. And then they said, no, no, you've got 100% blockage there. You've got a 70% blockage there. You've got a 70% blockage there. You had a 90% blockage there. You had a 40% blockage there. You had a 90%. Woo! I should be dead. Because it's just a few days before that, Jim and I were having a great time working together. Mind you, he made me sit down sometimes because I was short of breath, but you get the analysis I'm trying to get across. And think of your own life, your own spiritual life. Do you need some, you know, maybe some of your arteries are blocked spiritually? See, my problem was that some of the arteries were blocked. And they were blocked for different reasons. We're going to go over a few of them. The plumbing wasn't working right. I mean, come on now. See, my arteries were like this. They should be like this. So the blood wasn't flowing through the arteries into my brain. Into my... I couldn't breathe. I remember one time Jim came out with a 5-gallon can, a plastic can. He turned it upside down and he said, sit down. So I sat down. I thought it was a lung problem. I was that close to spend eternity with my Savior. But that's okay. I'm not complaining. I'm just happy that I can come back and enjoy. See, surgery, I needed surgery because that fellow there, even though he looked so good, all summer I was in the same condition. All summer I worked 8 hours a day with a shovel, with a pick, with a wheelbarrow, with a horse, with whatever. And yet, I was sick. I needed a checkup. And I went to the checkup and they did a whatever they do. But you know, sometimes we need not just a physical checkup. And even as Christians, you're in the right place. I'm not preaching to the choir. I mean, great, you're here. God bless you. And he's going to bless you. I hope you're being blessed by this message. I hope you're being challenged by this message. I'm challenged as I'm going over it again as I've been practicing and trying to live it. But maybe it's time for a spiritual checkup. Woo! Are you excited about Jesus? Are you on fire for Jesus? Can you not do enough for Jesus? Do you have that first love when you accepted him? Do we have daily Bible study, daily communion with God? Now, in our story, in our scripture here, this is the problem with this is the heart of those Pharisees. And if you look in the Bible there, it talks about these. It talks about they had their arteries blocked, their spiritual arteries. Greed. It says it right there in my Bible anyway. It talks about their greed. It talks about all these different things. Look at it in verse, what does it say in your verse? In verse 39. What's it say in 39? You've got 39, somebody? What's it say? Would you read it out loud, please? I'm getting tired. I've got a sheet to sit down here. My wife's not here yet, so I keep going until... Whoa. What does it say in 39, please, somebody? I can't hear you. Anybody?
And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed." And
greed, right? So that's one of the arteries that were plugged. That's one of the arteries. Well, keep going. What was the next word there?
And
wickedness. See, there they are. You can see it up there. And these are the problem with our Pharisee friends. See, there was the tithing with the wrong attitude. God wants us to tithe. It's not a law.
But he would like us to tithe. We shouldn't even give more. But they tithe with the wrong attitude. They had greed. They had pride. More concerned with looking holier than actually being holy. And these are all the problems. These were the arteries, spiritual arteries of our Pharisees. Now, can you change some of those words? If I had Power Shop here, I could change those words. Maybe there's different things in your life and my life. These were the things that was problem with them. These are all the things that were wrong. And there's many more that we might even have in our own life. But you know, before I had my problem with my heart, you might not be diagnosed with cardiovascular disease until you have a heart attack or stroke. See, I did have dizziness. I did have short of breath. I didn't have any chest pain, but a lot of people with a heart attack get chest pains, chest tightening, chest pressure. These are different things that you could see. Now, how about spiritual? What are some of the things spiritual that might show that some of your arteries are blocked? Well, let's look at them. Symptoms of spiritual heart disease. Okay. Ungratefulness. Never satisfied. We have the world in our hands. We know what a joy is. We know what abundant joy is. We mustn't be negative. We've got to be positive. We've got to show the world that we have everything because we have Jesus. Now, how about what else? Constant worry about money. Oh, the taxes. Not wondering. I mean, busyness. Constant excuse for not giving. Finding reason for not using the talents that God has. These are just some of the symptoms of your arteries being blocked. Some of them. Maintain a healthy heart spiritually. Eat right. And that's one of the things, maybe, why. I mean, I'm going to show you some things here might touch you a little heavy, but that could be one of my problems. There's nothing better. 20 years, 25 years in Argentina, those steaks, big, juicy steak with all that grasa, with all that grease around it. But spiritually, see, we've got to eat right. We've got to get God's word. We've got to be active. We've got to use our talents for Jesus. Each of you have talents. I don't know who was singing to my left this morning in the worship over here. I didn't want to look around, but I was blessed. I thought I was in heaven. I heard that person singing. Whoa, I would love to. See, that person's using their talent for Jesus. Maybe it's maintain your weight. Strip off sin. See, I'm not talking just to you. I'm talking to myself. I'm 102. It's over 220 pounds. That's too much. So as I said, I'm quit smoking. Quit bad habits and company. I mean, quit bad habits and company. Look at some of these things. Control cholesterol. Walk in and live the word. Walk in the word of God and live the word. Maybe it's avoid alcohol. Avoid all sin, evil. Manage stress. See, these are just some of the reasons, some of the things that we can clean our arteries up. And we can ask God to help us do that. Spiritual checkup. Do you need a spiritual checkup? Should we be praying, oh God, perform a spiritual open heart surgery on me, and Lord, I need it today. Have we prayed that? Lord, clean out those impurities. Clean out my sin. Clean out all the obstructions that is keeping me from being what I should be in God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew my spirit once again. Clean out my heart, O God, so that I can once again feel your Holy Spirit. Clean out my heart, O God, so I can once again have a desire to work for you. Clean out my heart, O God, those sins that, those impurities, that envy, that jealousy, the prejudice, the hatred, the unfortunate attitude. Because I know that if I have a clean heart, a pure heart, that life will come back into me. I will once again experience the Spirit of God flowing through my veins. Make me better than I had ever been before. You know, the plaque that builds up in your artery doesn't build up overnight. But when it does, something has to be done. We must build up a spiritual defense against it. Spiritual checkup. Yes? Lord, clean out the impurities. My last slide. No, I think I've got one more after this. Oh, Lord, how you have a heart that beats for God? Do you have a heart that beats for God? That's what we should be praying for. That's what we should be praying for. I hope you've been challenged. I hope your arteries, just call me Dr. Ron, eh?
Dr. Ron. But God wants us to just be full of Him. And we can do that if we clean up our act.
God bless each and every one of you. And may you be challenged by this message. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you look on the inside, not just on the outside. And help us on the inside spiritually, Heavenly Father. Help us if we need some arteries cleaned up. Help us, Heavenly Father, keep us, Heavenly Father, from not seeing our need. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that He can help us clean up our arteries. And Heavenly Father, we want the Holy Spirit to flow through us like He did when we first accepted you. Use us, we pray, and we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a lovely day. Don't get too sunburned. Oh, excuse me.